Welcome to The Convo. I am your host, Lakeisha Mosley. I'm a mom, a blogger, a brand influencer, and the event producer of my own event management company called The LM Experience. On The Convo, you'll hear conversations with some of the most profound entrepreneurs from all over the world as they share with us their wins and their losses. They'll also share tips and tricks with you that will help you be successful along this journey called entrepreneurship. Let's get started with the show. Jessica Zimmerman is an educator, author, wife, mom, and serial entrepreneur who teaches her students and followers how to set healthy business boundaries, invest in themselves, and create businesses and lives they absolutely love. Jessica transformed her zero-profit events company, Zimmerman Events, into a seven-figure business, all while caring for her ailing husband. Her new book, Sleeping with a Stranger, has hit Wall Street Journal, USA Today, Barnes & Noble, as well as the number one Amazon bestsellers list. She's a floral designer turned educator and author who spends her days chasing kids, recording podcasts, creating courses, and teaching students how to find life's purpose. This episode is sponsored by The LM Experience. The LM Experience is an event management firm located in Houston, Texas. We're committed to a high level of execution for any type of event. From galas to workshops, we're sure to make your event an experience. Need assistance with your virtual event? We're here to help. Contact us for more information at www.thelmexperience.com. We don't just manage events, we execute experiences. Thanks so much for joining me today on Convo with Keisha. Jessica, how are you?
I'm great. I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. I'm excited to have you on. I cannot wait for the listeners to hear us conversate about all that you got going on and everything about you. But before we get started, get too far into everything, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, the short story is that when I was about 3 years old, I was in a car accident and my sister passed away and I survived. And so my mom kind of put all of her inner, only surviving child. And I noticed when I went off to college how hard that was on my mom. Yeah. And, now being a mom of three kids, I can't even begin to imagine what she must have gone through. But I just knew that in the event that one day I was lucky enough to own that I needed something that was just mine outside of my family and that was okay. And, it was almost emotional insurance if I'm being completely honest, but, and I just knew that I wanted to be as present of a mom as my mom was, but I wanted, something that was mine. And the only way I knew how to do that was to own my own business. And so, that's what I did.
That's awesome. And I don't think a lot of women or a lot of us think about it that way. Like, we want something that's just ours that also allows us the freedom to be able to do what we want to do, take care of ourselves and our families at the same time.
Right. And just to have something that is yours, that it isn't anyone else's, you know what I mean? Like it's not my husband's, it's not my kids. My whole world doesn't revolve around just these people, even though they are clearly the most important thing. It's also important for me to have something that makes me, just a complete individual. That's my own thing. Exactly. And so I just don't care what that was. I would have sold knives for a living. Right. I ended up buying a wedding rental business, which was funny because business, and I business who I mean, they eat, breathe, and love it. Like, they know all the names of the flowers. And if you told them they could never touch a flower again, they would be like, well, just end it now, because what is life if I can't do this? And for me, I just never felt that way. And I kind of honed a craft for the business that I had purchased, but it was never a passion of mine, if I'm being completely honest. And so what happened is my husband, he got really sick, to the point where he was just in and out of the hospital. I had had my daughter, and then I had newborn twin boys. So life was very full.
Yeah.
And he was in and out of the hospital, and I just knew any day now he was going to lose his job. And I thought, oh, I'm going to have to figure this out. Like, I'm going to have to figure out how to support this family. Right. And so I took some time and just learned everything that I could about business. And after about a year, I really transformed my business. I mean, I went from bringing home nothing to being able to bring home a six-figure salary to support my family. And so one of the things I learned was that successful people, they utilize their low seasons. And so I had a low season of January, February, and I decided to just write down what I did, write down everything I learned. Mm-hmm. I called it the business behind the blooms. And I sold it, and I'm telling you, I did not have a newsletter list. I think I had 300 followers on Instagram. Like, I didn't even know, you know, online courses was a thing. Like, right. I just did this thing in a PDF and sold it. And that was the first time that I really felt, oh, this feels like home to me, like sharing vulnerably about business and sharing vulnerably just about my life, my experience. Mm-hmm. And so that's what kind of took me into the direction of education. And I believe that is what prepared me to share really vulnerably about my personal life, which is what I'm doing right now with my book, Sleeping with a Stranger. Yeah. So there it is.
Wow. I got goosebumps, girlfriend. Okay. Like, literally got goosebumps. And this is the thing. We have so much in us, Jessica, that it's sad to say that we don't push it out until we're almost forced to. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
You were pretty much, you know, you had started your business, but you were pretty much just thrust into entrepreneurship on a different level when hubby got sick. Mm-hmm. And you had to figure out a way to provide for your family. So I hate for to ask you to be a little bit more transparent, because you already have, but give us the real sis. So, like, what was that like, you know, being like the main breadwinner? Like, how did entrepreneurship shape up for you in that instance?
Well, if I'm being completely honest, I mean, when I, you know, set out to own my own business, I really kind of thought, well, my husband's going to, you know, he's going to take care of us
financially,
and I'm going to kind of have the fun money, and I'm going to be able to like take us on a vacation once a year or something like that. I really genuinely kind of went into it with this mindset of I'll make money for us to travel, because that was my biggest passion, and that's what I wanted to spend our time doing. And so I just thought, okay, that's what I'll do. I'll just make the money for us to travel, and he'll pay our bills and like groceries, you know, and all of that. And I think part of that also came from, you know, there's a little bit of, I believe, and I talk about this in Sleeping with a Stranger, but I think that there's a part of us that grows up with a script that's like, you know what, this is what's expected of you. And this is what, this is how you're supposed to act. This is how you're supposed to feel. Right. And I think, you know, growing up in the South, I just thought, yeah, I'm going to get married, and I don't want to just be a stay-at-home mom. And listen, I know that that is the hardest job in the world, and I have so much respect. I mean, my mom did it. I think it's incredible. Right. I just knew that I needed something else. And I don't mean to use the word just, I just at all, you hopefully you guys know what I'm talking about, but
right.
I should use the word only. I didn't want to be only a stay-at-home mom. I wanted to have this work. And I think part of it was I just wanted to be taken seriously. You know what I mean? Like, exactly. If I own my own business and my name is on it, then people are going to take me seriously. I don't know. And I think we all kind of desire that. But it was when my husband got sick and that became really real. And it was, I have an option. I have a choice. My choice is either going to be figure out how to turn this kind of hobby business mm-hmm. into a legit business that makes you legit money, that takes care of your family, or you're going to have to go work for someone else and get a salary, you know, doing that. And I just was like, I'm not willing to do that. My greatest motivation is time. And I wanted to be able to decide how I spend my time.
Right.
But honestly, there were parts of me, I mean, and I go into great detail about this, but I wrestled back and forth a lot with being really resentful of, you know, just my husband's illness and going, I didn't ask for this. I didn't ask to be responsible for all of this. I didn't ask, right. you know, to be taking you to the doctor and raising three kids and figuring out how to make my business, you know, financially work for us. And there was part of me that was resentful. And then there was a part of me that would go, no, you, this is actually the most alive you've ever felt. Like, you're actually uh-huh. good at this. This is actually, and I think that that's what I go back to, meaning that I think somewhere, you know, down the line of life, I think we are all born with a purpose that is uh-huh. placed in our heart, like a purpose.
Right.
And I think over time, you know, that gets clouded or that gets buried. And I think sometimes in order to really find that purpose, we have to do the, I call it the underground work. It is the work that is, gosh, it is hard. You don't want to do it because it's so hard. You don't want to do it because no one sees you. You right. don't want to do it because it's not Instagram worthy. It is heartbreaking. And it only when you get to an absolute breaking point where the ground, you know, can break is when you're going to see that purpose and the fruit is going to, you know, is going to come out and it's going to sprout. And, but you got to go through some stuff. And I think most people, to be honest, are just, they don't want to do that work. And I was kind of forced to do that work. And so, I'm really grateful for it now because I feel more myself than I've ever felt. And, right. My husband feels more himself than he's ever felt. So we're grateful for it. But there were definitely times that I felt resentful of it.
Right. Exactly. Cause it's almost like hard. You're like, okay, God, listen, I didn't ask for this and I'm not prepared. I'm not ready. Like, I don't have all my ducks in the row, or just the whole, almost like the punch in the gut effect of it. Like, whoa, here it is. Like mm-hmm. it's in my face. I can't prepare for it. I can't, as you said, follow that script. Because you're right, we do have this script in our head of how everything is supposed to go. So like, even for me, just recently, I retired myself from my 9-to-5 job. So I had it all planned out, Jessica, thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
I had it all planned out, you know, hey, you put in your notice, you know, you're gonna work this, and then this is what's gonna happen in between. And so I had a very, you know, immature, childish boss that was like, well, I accept your notice early, so you actually don't have to work till the end of it. And I'm like, whoa, okay, so what's up with that? Like, it totally was a punch in the gut, mm-hmm. but God is so good to where, you know, the idiot still has to pay me till the end of my notice with raise and bonus and all, as well as now I get to sit at home and jumpstart this whole full-time entrepreneurship journey while he's paying me and I'm still getting paid for my side businesses, which wow. are not my full-time businesses. So that script, I was like, for a couple of days, I didn't even know what to do with myself because right. I was not prepared. My script, he had flipped the script on me. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what to do. And I had to just be like, you know what, girl, you need to get this together. This is a blessing right here. You don't know why God pulled you out early, but you need to tap into that. And on top of that, you know, you just make it do what it do. You have yeah. time now to really focus, take this month, you know, and figure out really what you want to do. You know, for me, it's just like, okay, this is my schedule. This is how I need to do this. This is how I'm going to shape these businesses. But, you know, what I love about us as women, no offense to the guys, because I know I got some guy listeners that's like, look at her. She always pumping up the women. We know how to land on our feet, though.
Yeah, we do.
We always have a comeback game for stuff.
Well, there's a reason that God gave, you know, us the, you know, the body to bear children and stuff. We're strong. Right. We're very strong. I mean, there's a reason. And I love what you said. And I think, you know, I try to come from a place of rejection. Mm-hmm. Really is one of two things. It's either protection or redirection.
Right.
That's what it is. And so I think a lot of people can get, you know, and I used to be this way. I used to get frustrated, you know, or think, why did that client go with someone else? Or, you know, and I think you really just have to come from a place of, no, that wasn't meant for you. Like that might have been the most nightmare client in the world. And you might have, you know, it had the toughest time. And so just not everything is for you, and just come from a place of, yeah, rejection is just protection.
Yes, that's the key word. Like, I love that. Like, sometimes we don't even know what we're getting ourselves out of by these things, you know, really happening. And for me, I was in grocery retail, and I was already dissatisfied as it was. I mean, we got this whole thing called COVID going on.
Right.
That we can't see it. We can't hear it. We can't feel it. We don't know where it's coming from. Not only that, it's not only affected the United States, it's affected China, it's affected Canada. I mean, it's global.
Right.
It's so much uncertainty. And then we have so much social unjust going on with George Floyd and all of these things that are happening. And so for me, I just want to be at home. I just want to be at home and be safe and not have to interact with people as much as possible other than virtually. You know, just to be safe. But, you know, we don't look at those small blessings of, yeah, that script was flipped, but here's the joy in the other side of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here's the other part. I love it. I love it. So let's talk a little bit about being a mom. Now, you got this big business, sis. You got these beautiful kids, hubby, everybody. Okay. How do you balance all of that?
So I believe that balance, if we actually look at the definition of balance, it says equal parts distribution of weight that makes you feel upright and balanced. So I choose to look at the second part of that definition, not the equal parts of distribution, but what makes me feel upright and steady. And this is going to be different for everyone. For some people, what makes them feel upright and steady is being with their kids all day. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to raise their kids and be with them all day. And that is their purpose. That is what they were meant to do. And I don't think that there is anything, but so much love and respect for that, because you may be nurturing the next, you know, whoever, the next person who's got amazing things to say and share with the world, or the next inventor, or the next, you know what, and those children need to be, you know, cared for in a way that is very nurturing. And so I think, you know, people that you're going to have women who, that's what makes them feel upright and balanced. Mm-hmm. You're going to have women who, what makes them feel upright and balanced is being at a 9-to-5 and then coming home. And then for me, I look at it and I go, okay, if I'm with my kids all day long, every day, that's just not good. Like I want when my kids see me and when I see my kids, for my eyes to just light up, you know? And if I am with them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that's not going to happen. It's just not, you know? And so by me being able to go and do some work and then get to be with them, my eyes are going to light up when I see them, because I have gone and I have filled me up. I've done what makes me feel upright and steady.
Right.
And I have had adult conversations, and I have, you know, moved the needle a little bit in my business. And now I can go and I can be the best mom that I can be to those kids. And I, you also have to remember, God gave those kids to you, for you to be their mother. Mm-hmm. And so whatever it is that you, that makes you feel upright and steady, that's what your kids need from a mom, you know? And so that, like I said, that might be a full-time mom. That might be a 9-to-5 mom who comes home a little later. That might be a mom like me who, you know, there are seasons where I'm in work. And then there are seasons that I am able to just kind of check some email and right. hang out with them most of the time. And, you know, for me, it's never going to be, it's this many hours a day with the kids and this many hours a day at work. It's going to be what makes me feel upright and steady.
Right. Right. I love that. Upright and steady. Because I think most of us have the wrong definition of balance. I did I was on a panel, a mompreneur panel last year around this same time. And one of the questions was, how do you balance? Well, balance for me is different. For one, my kids are grown. I mean, they're 21 and 24, but they still have needs and I'm still mom. But right. balance looks different for me every single day because, as you know, at that time I was in grocery retail. So I'm like, you know, some days I'm that really great employee and my company gets everything that they need from me, but my businesses and my children lack on right. that particular day. And right. guess what? I need to be okay with that because I'm only one person.
Yeah.
And that's what, at that time, that's what I have to focus on.
Right. Know? And I think you have to be that example for your kids and they have to know, you know, the real world isn't, because again, what we show them is what they are going to, you know, think that we expect of them, I think. And I think, which isn't necessarily the truth, but I think, you know, they might go, well, mom was, I mean, she tucked me in every single night and every, you know, she was there every morning and woke me up with a smile and, you know, and worked 3 hours a day. And what if they then go to, you know, work a 9-to-5? They need to know that, you know, that is perfectly okay. And that
right.
you don't have to be there every single night, that, you know, sometimes the world or work or whatever is going to pull you away and that's okay. That's what real life is. So I think the most, you know, the best thing we can do for our kids is not try to overprotect and not try to, you know, give them this false sense of this perfect childhood, but give a really real, you know, depiction of what life is like.
That's true. I think that's how we really set them up. Because mm-hmm. otherwise we give them this bad example of
that they can't live up to.
Yes. And then they're like mad and pissed off and like, okay, so what happened? What did mom do to me? Or it's very unrealistic, you know, what they are looking at. And I don't think it just sets them up to be successful for right. anything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we talk a lot, you know, as a family, I try to, you know, every day I say to them, I say, you know, and they're so tired of me saying this, but I say, so we all have different strengths and we all have different, and by the way, my kids just turned 7, 5, and 5, like just, so I mean, they're young, but I will say to them, you know, we're all going to have different definitions of what success means. And, you know, we are going to love each other no matter what route we take. And that might mean that Perry, you know, he wants to live in a canoe and a tent and, you know, work and get paid minimum wage as a raft instructor. And that's right. fine if that's what makes okay. him happy. And, that's you know, right. he may want to be, you know, a professor, and that's going to look very different than what exactly. what Perry's path was, but neither one of them are better than the other. And neither exactly. one of them are, we should judge, because what we want is, for everyone to find, you know, their purpose, and that's never, ever, ever going to be found if we live, you know, in fear, right. that we've got to just get out there and try things, because clarity, you know, experience is what gives us clarity on things.
Right.
Yeah. I do try to kind of teach them that, even that, you know, your life isn't going to look like mommy's. Like, and you're, I don't want you to feel bad if you want a 9-to-5 job just because right. mommy, that doesn't mean you don't, you know, like,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I love how you said that, because I notice sometimes people try to shame those of us who don't want that lifestyle. So I tell people all the time, like, I was on that other side. If anyone asked me, you know, if I, you know, aspired to be an entrepreneur, I've been like, heck no. I'm gonna work my job, this good corporate job, until, and then if something happens to come along, I'll work that as a side hustle. But no, I just knew that I was going to work a 9-to-5 for the rest of my life. I was just gonna move up the ranks, Jessica. I was just gonna, right. you know, be right. okay with that. It was a for sure check, and I felt like it was just so much pride in that. But then as life happened to me and I saw what I was capable of and had potential of, some of my closest friends was like, girl, you are crazy. What are you doing? And I'm like, don't knock me, because I'm okay with not dancing to someone else too. I'm really not a good employee, Jessica. I'm gonna just be honest.
I'm not either.
Good employee. I want to do my own thing.
Yeah, me too.
I can't do that at your job. So it's yeah. best that I just, you know, go where I can be the boss.
Yes. Know thyself.
I do what I want.
Yes. Know thyself. Yeah. I'm not a good employee either. Unless I'm working for myself. You know, I read a quote yesterday from Ellen Pompeo, which is, she is Meredith Grey on the show Grey's Anatomy, mm-hmm. which has been on for like, what, 20 years? I don't know.
Yes.
And I found her quote to be so refreshing. She said, you know, I just decided to go with the guaranteed paycheck over, you know, creative roles and looking at, you know, and having this kind of versatile career. Mm-hmm. And I'm okay with that. And I thought, yes, good for you. Like, I love that. She's like, no, I didn't. I had a choice. I could, you know, right. bounce around and try creative roles and try this and try that, or I could have a guaranteed paycheck. And you know what? That sounds good to me. And I love that. Like, so much respect for just saying, this is what I want. I'm not afraid exactly. to tell you that.
Exactly. And then I'm okay with if you don't agree, because I still have people that I know that are just like, I just do not understand.
Right, right.
What you're That's doing.
Okay. We do not have to we do not have to agree in order to love and respect one another.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what I said. I'm like, we can still be cool. We can still kick it, whatever the case may be. But you know, I've noticed too, that when your whole life changes, when your whole direction changes, your friends change, who you're yeah. around changes. And sometimes it's for the better. Most times it's for the better, let me say that. But I know I do have some friends that are not entrepreneurs, but our conversations are different. And I think sometimes as entrepreneurs, especially women like us who are just like out here killing it and like, we go. You can't talk to that friend who doesn't have that desire to be an entrepreneur the same way you talk to a friend that is an entrepreneur. The conversation is just not different. I mean, it's not the same. It's so different.
You speak different languages. Yes. That's just what it is. I mean, I could talk about my work all day, Keisha, all day, and never get yeah. tired of it. And I remember one time going to a Christmas holiday at my in-law's house, and I saw my brother-in-law, and he'd just gotten a new job, and I was like, oh my gosh. I'd poured myself a cocktail, sat down next to him. I go, tell me everything. Tell me all about the new job. And he looked at me and he said, Jessica, I appreciate you asking, but if it's okay, like, this is my Christmas vacation and I just don't want to talk about work. And I was like, oh yeah, okay, I totally get it. Even, I mean, and I respected what he said, but that was such right. a clear indication of like, oh, we don't speak the same language when right. it comes to work. And that's okay. And there are other things that he and I can talk about. And I think that that's the thing. I think a lot of times it's easy to get offended, you know, if someone doesn't cheer us on or, mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, we don't need anyone else to cheer us on to achieve our dreams. And just like I could never be a nurse. Like, I just couldn't do it. There's just all that charting, and then there's blood. And I just, you have to be like, you know, somewhat sensitive to people's feelings. Like, I don't know. It's just not my role. And I think I would not want to sit here and talk with a nurse all about her, you know, like charts and what all she did. Like, we don't speak the same language. Right. So I can't be offended, you know, if someone doesn't feel passionate about wanting to speak about entrepreneurship, because something else, some other commonality that we can talk about. And I think honestly, for entrepreneurs, that's something that we have to practice, because we are so involved in our job that sometimes we do need to step out and go, what else do I have to offer besides talking about work? You know,
exactly.
It's practice, and it's not fun, but we got to do that. We got to find those other commonalities.
We do. We do. That is so, so true. Oh my gosh. I am so loving talking to you. This is so fun.
Sit tight. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor.
So let's talk about your book. First of all, the title, that just jumped out to me. I absolutely love the title.
But what else do I see?
Yeah. I just love it. I love it because it makes you be like, wait, hold up, wait, what was that title again?
Yeah.
Hold up. You know, I love it, love it. So what made you write your book?
So the book is called Sleeping with a Stranger. And basically, when my husband Brian got ill, like I said, it was 6 weeks after my twin boys were born. It was 2 weeks after my daughter's second birthday. And we spent, you know, over a year just kind of in and out of the hospital trying to figure out what was wrong with him. And I remember during that time, I mean, my husband and I have now been together 20 years. We met when we were 18. And I just remember, you know, we were married for 8 years before we had kids. Like, we just loved being around each other. And we were really supportive of one another and had so much fun together. And so it was really weird when he got ill. And then going back to, you know, losing my sister when I was young, and that was out of my control. There was part of me that felt like I needed to control this the best way I could. And if I could just, you know, get him to the right doctor, he could be healed. If I could just make enough money, he could be healed, you know, whatever. And, you know, I just remember when we were going through it at one point, because it was about a 4 year journey. And first you deal with the physical, then you deal with the mental. You also deal with the fact that you have two people that have completely grown two different directions into two completely different people.
Right.
Who Brian and I were pre-illness and who Brian and I are post-illness are two completely different people. We had to decide, you know, do we continue to love and support it? First of all, do we even like each other? Do we like these people?
Exactly.
You know, and to be honest, I don't really know if we had met, you know, today, if we would be attracted to one another.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't know, but I know that, so the book is all about kind of that journey, and it is very real, raw, honest. It is also funny, if I do say so myself, but it is just an honest look about what happens when the compass is lost and you know, have to kind of find yourself. And, but I knew during even the worst times of that, Keisha, I knew that, this is not happening to us for no reason. I remember during like one of his worst days saying that to him. And I don't know where that came from. You know, I just remember that's just what came out of my mouth. And I said, this is not happening for nothing. I felt in my bones that it was an experience being given to us because we were going to be brave enough to share it one day. And when I decided to write about it, first of all, there's not a man on the planet that I know besides my husband who would allow his wife to write about this time.
Right.
His absolute darkest moments are in that book. My absolute darkest moments are in this book. I mean, I remember someone asking me, like, you do know your kids are going to read this one day, right? And I was like, yeah, I know. Like, but I'm going to tell the whole truth and tell them everything. Right. And I want them to know this because I want them to know that there's a way out and that we do survive. But I just felt like, honestly, I felt like everything that I'd been through with business and everything had prepared me to take this on and to publish this book and promote it with a level of excellence, because I believe that this story is meant to get out into the world. I really right. do. And I think that it was a story that was given to us to experience so that we would share it. I really right. did.
Right. Right. I so believe that. I so believe that, because sometimes we get so caught up in what stuff looks like to where we totally miss out on so much stuff.
Yeah.
So much good stuff. And I really, I'm grateful to you. I thank you for being transparent and sharing. I'm grateful to your husband for allowing that, because you're right. I don't know too many men who would allow that. Yeah. We always want to keep stuff in the dark, and we don't understand sometimes how it's it helps other people.
Right. If this is people. This is soul work, really, is what it is, like S-O-U-L. And that for right. me, that is, you know, being able to take you know, a situation and liberate myself from it, emancipate uh-huh. myself from it while empowering others. Exactly. You know, that's really what it is. And to go back to your question about the title, so my husband had an illness with his gut, and he very quickly lost a ton of weight. He got down to about 130 pounds. And there was a night that I was just laying in bed and I was writing in a journal, and I looked over at him, and I didn't, you know, my husband's super chatty and he's, you know, very nurturing. And I hadn't really heard his voice in a few days because he was so exhausted and sick mm-hmm. and tired. And I looked over at his body, and he looked to me like an 80-year-old man. He was 33, but he looked 80. And I wrote one line in my journal that day. I wrote, "I feel like I'm sleeping with a stranger."
Wow.
And I circled it. And I remember thinking, if I ever write about this, that is going to be the title of the book, which is crazy because I'm not a writer. You know what I mean? Like, it's just things like that would happen and you just have to wake up. But, you know, right. we have to really come from a place of things happen for us, not to us.
Exactly. And if we
can come from that perspective, things get better.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, I just love that. Like, oh, I got chills, girlfriend. That and we'll make sure that we put in a plug for the book at the end so they can definitely get it. Because I think that is so awesome. Like, you're with someone or even yourself. I wrote a blog post one time that really resonated with people where I titled it Being the Other Woman. And people were like, "Oh, what's she talking about?"
Yeah. But when
you read it, it's about me just waking up one day and realizing that I wasn't being the person that God had designed and destined me to be. And I'm looking in the mirror like, I don't even know who she is.
Yes. Oh, you're going to love this book.
Yeah, I don't even know who she is. So I'm excited to get it. I'm definitely going to get your book. And I hope all of the listeners get it, because we need to tap into those things. We need to know that things like that happen, but you overcome them in the end. Like, it's not always going to be that way. I can remember my grandmother, even growing up, I grew up Baptist, you know, singing a song, you know, saying trouble don't last always. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not going to always be that way.
Right. Right. Yeah.
It's not always going to be like
that. That I love is that I believe that, you know, God speaks to us in whispers. And I think that there is something that the Lord wants you to deal with. And the more you bury it, and that's kind of going back to that underground work, the more you bury it, he's gonna keep giving you situations, you know, until you finally face it. And I think a lot of that is what happened with Brian's illness. It was like, okay, you have buried this long enough, and now we're going to have to really look at it. And so what I try to teach my children is, you know, anytime you are wanting to numb a feeling, whether that could be you want to watch TV because you want to numb a feeling, or you mm-hmm. want to, you know, eat a snack because you want to numb a feeling, or you want to distract yourself in some way. And for, you know, us as adults, you know, maybe we want to drink of alcohol or whatever. It's like, okay, right. Before you do that, let's ask ourselves, like, okay, why do I want to numb this right now? Why do I want to distract from this? Because that feeling is not going away. And if I can just face this and I can walk through this pain, man, I'm going to come out the other side a lot quicker, a lot quicker.
Right. That's so true. It's all about obedience. I can remember Joyce Meyer saying, you know, how many times are you going to go around that stupid mountain?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you're going to keep doing that, you know, until you get it right. So I just really love how, you know, we yield to what we were called to do and what that purpose is in the first place. But then sometimes we have to go through those valleys where we're forced to yield to whatever it is. Like, yeah. We don't have a choice. We have to do it.
Right. Well, and I think, you know, the script that we all read that we were kind of handed as kids, like, I think that so many people that might be listening right now go, but I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what my purpose is. It is there. I promise. I swear to you. It has just been covered up by what society thinks. I mean, I even look at my kids and I try to go, okay, we're born with natural born strengths.
Right.
And we show those a lot in our toddler years. What happens is once we start going to school and stuff, there is someone who shames us for what we are naturally gifted at, whether that's right. drawing or, you know, acting or, juggling, you know, who knows? I mean, you could, and somebody can shame you and then you stop doing it.
Exactly.
And so your purpose, or a breadcrumb to your purpose, I believe starts, you know, way, 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 way back, but mm-hmm. somewhere things got buried or, you know, there could be men who are 100% meant to be stay at home dads. That could be their purpose, but man, they think about what their father would think of them or their
exactly.
friend would think of them and they just never do it. And it's like that you're going to live a life that is filled with anxiety, stress, and fear the rest of your life, if that's exactly. how you live. But the second that you can start to kind of do the work, and a lot of time that involves therapy, but that's again that dark underground work. And if right. you can do it, you come out the other end with that purpose, and the fruit is blooming, and the finances come, and everything. Because when we're walking in our purpose, you know, life's a lot better.
Right, right. Oh, I love that. I love that. I love that. So helping women, that's a big thing. Cause you know, we hard-headed sis, like we don't listen.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah. We super hard-headed. We're so headstrong. And I think a lot of times we just jump out and do things without thinking about it. So think about when you started, what is it that you wish women would do, you know, before they start in business, or they knew before they just jumped out? Because a lot of people look at us and they're like, oh my gosh, she's killing it, this is so easy. And I'm like, no.
Yeah, that there is no one secret thing, that the secret to a successful business is going to be every day kind of you know, bites of bravery. It's like right. every day doing something, and it's mundane and it's simple. You know, it's not every day is going to be some glamorous, you know, extraordinary experience. It's going to be mundane stuff that add up over time. Right. And, you know, the people that you're looking at that, that you think, oh man, look at where they are and stuff. I mean, most of them have been grinding for a decade or more,
yes.
you know, and it is, you cannot compare your 1 or 2 year journey to someone's 10-year journey. You just can't do it. It's never going to add up.
That's so true. So
my biggest piece of advice is to not follow anyone in your industry. You just got to stay in your own lane. because that just, it just takes you, we're human. And so we're naturally going to compare ourselves. So right. if you can kind of take away that distraction altogether, then I think that that's a big, big key.
Exactly.
If you follow, if when you're scrolling, if there's ever an account that makes you feel bad about yourself in any way, and maybe you don't even know why that is yet, you know what I mean? And maybe it's a friend of yours or whatever, just mute it for a little while, you know what I mean? And just see, you know, if that helps and then come back around. Like, it's no one else's business who you mute and who you don't. Like, listen, right. your own life, your own heart, your own, you know, self-care. And you gotta take that real seriously.
Exactly. And you got, like you said, you got to make sure that you are taking care of yourself. And you can't be concerned about what other people are doing. I have this quote up on my board. And it was a meme that I saw. And it said, my teacher always taught me to keep my eyes on my own paper. Worry about yourself. Worry about what you got going on. Worry about how you're going to take care of the things you need to take care of so that you're not concerned with other folks. Like, I can recall being that person looking, because I was in the events industry as well. I was actually a planner and loved it initially. And then I found that I didn't like it so much. I absolutely can't stand brides to some degree. But as you know, they can be horrible. But you know, I just was like, look at what this person is doing and look at what that person is doing. And then, you know, being in business and getting to know people, you know, you get, you know, to get an insight sometimes into their life and you're like, dang, they were struggling like me, or right. they went through the same things that I went through. And here we over here thinking that they just chilling. They just yeah. got it going on and they really don't.
Right. I think that's why my program, The Business Behind the Blooms, has done so well in the wedding industry, because it is the one program out there that is really vulnerable and shares all that. And it's like, okay, so here's how I messed up. And then here's how I messed up again. And then here's, and so it's not, when people read it, it's not like, oh, here's someone just telling me what to do. It's like, oh man, I'm not alone. I feel totally seen and heard and like, understood right now. And oh, okay, right. Let's see what she did to turn that around. Okay, good. I'm going to give that a try. It just feels more like a friend holding your hand, you know, instead mm-hmm. of like a teacher telling you what to do.
Exactly. Yeah. I love that part of it. When people can tell me just how it is. And sometimes I do that on my social, as well. I just tell people how it is. I'm like, you know, this is a day where I didn't want to hurt someone. So, you know, it's a good day. No one got hurt. But you know, we made it happen. And you sometimes have to share that, because then, you know, when we don't, we give people the wrong impression of what this entrepreneur life is. And honestly, we have a responsibility to tell people the truth.
Yes. Yes, that is so much of what Sleeping with a Stranger is about, because even though it's a very personal, like raw story, right. part of me was like, you know, we see all of this, especially with females, these ads and stuff that are like, you can own your own business and make seven figures and be a stay-at-home mom and travel the world. And it's the best. And it's like, okay, that might be true, but what is driving that?
Exactly. Like,
what's really happening right. behind the scenes? Let's get honest about that, because it is not all blissful. And for me, what drove me was fear. I was scared to death of losing my husband. And that is what drove me to building a successful business. It was about control. And it was, you know, it was not a pretty thing. But it, right. So we all have, there's a reason that we need to be successful or, you know, whatever. And we got to be really honest about why, what is our struggle or what's happening underneath right. that's causing us to need this.
Exactly. That is so true. Like, I think that just sums it all up when we're thinking about whatever it may be. Like for us, we have the commonality of the events industry, you know, but, you know, and no matter in what industry that you're in, that is what you have to really think about at the end of it all. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I just love this. So this has been so great. I absolutely love talking to you. Like this was so good. So tell us what's next for you. Like, what do you have next?
Oh gosh, that's exciting. So I really, my family and I are, we are going to be going on a little adventure. We haven't really told family members yet, so I can't really say a whole lot. But I think we're going to try to, you know, maybe see. We are born and raised in Arkansas. We've been here mm-hmm. forever. And so I think we're going to try to maybe see where our family thrives. And yeah, you'll have to stay posted because we're doing it in a pretty unconventional way. Cool. So you'll have to check out jessicazimmerman.com. But as far as like, professionally and stuff, my job right now is just to promote this book as excellently as I know how to do. And thank you for having me on and letting me share about it here on your platform. I'm so grateful, but I just believe that that's my job right now, is to get this book in as many hands as possible. Okay. We don't talk enough about what it's really like to be a caretaker and what really can go on in marriage and all of that. And so I just feel like that's my work right now, is to get that out.
Exactly. I absolutely love it. Thank you so much for joining us on today. Tell the listeners how they can get connected to you and how we can purchase the book. So we know we can go on your website, but is there any social media platforms you want to share with us?
Yeah, everything you can find at jessicazimmerman.com. You just scroll to the bottom of jessicazimmerman.com and you'll see my Facebook and my Instagram and Pinterest and all those good things. The book is sold wherever books are sold. So Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all those places. I also, it's on Audible. So if you want to listen to this sweet Southern voice, exactly. Read it to it. I can do that for you. So it's on, you know, Kindle, hardback, audiobook. I'm really proud of it. And I hope that your listeners will take a listen to it for sure.
That is so awesome. I'm definitely going to grab me a copy. I'm one of them Amazon girls. I like Audibles. I do, but it's certain books I just want in my hand.
Yeah. I'm the same.
Reference, you know, sometimes I'm writing in them. I'm highlighting.
Me too.
Yes. I do that so much.
We are the same person. I do the same thing. I love it.
Yes, I do that so much. And then sometimes as I'm reading, I'm sharing with my audience, you know, about the book. So I love to like show the cover and then show where I'm reading it, like highlighting it. Like that's just so awesome. So definitely we'll stay in touch with you, Jessica. I love everything you're doing. It is totally, totally amazing. And we'll probably have you back on to talk about something else. I'm sure we'll find something.
I would love it. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to The Convo. I hope you enjoyed the show. Be sure to subscribe on Anchor or Apple Podcasts.